Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
What's taking place as there's a heightened focus on the mining industry, not just in South Africa, but across the continent. So, we are going to give you some insight into some of the developments and acknowledgements of what we saw today, including some audio of the conversations that we managed to participate and sit in. But of course, as mentioned, in conversation now with my good friend and colleague, Sinenjabulo Sibeko, the star producer of the show. Njabs, it's a nice hot day in Cape Town. It's been busy. It's been bustling. This is your first mining Indaba. How have you found it? Because if there's anything, it's just like this influx of so many people from across the continent who've really, you know, garnered and gathered here with a heightened level of excitement.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Cooks. It's my first mining Indaba and it's overwhelming. but it's overwhelming in a good way because the planning that has gone into this event, Cape Town is a buzz now. There's traffic, but it means, you know, it's good for the economy. And it's just an amazing time to experience this event and the planning that has gone into it and the amazing speakers and the insights that we're getting from it. And I'm looking forward to enjoying, you know, this week with you here at Mining Indaba.
It's a busy one. And if the first day is anything to go by, there have been a number of briefings, starting as early as 7 o'clock from the Minerals Council today, who gave us a few facts, stats and figures around the decline in mining productivity that we've witnessed. They've also given us some insight into mining safety and, of course, the level of support that they're seeing from companies like Eskom and Transnet, both companies of which had their CEOs giving briefings today on their operations and the structural shifts and changes that we've witnessed. From your observations, you've been in a few panel discussions and sideline events. You've spotted a few people in the crowd and walking down the passengers as well. But how would you describe, I guess, the overview of optimism or confidence or lack thereof that we might see in some spaces?
Before I get to that point, Googs, shout out to SAA because they are the reason we're here. And I think what I've seen or what I've witnessed from this mining endeavor is that, you know, there are so many companies that would not normally associate with mining, but we see their participation here. Mm. One of the people that I saw is VW, and you'd often ask the question, how does automotive, you know, connect with mining? And what we saw from, you know, the briefings that came out today, there was the CEO of VW Group, and it's particularly important that we have this CEO here because if you remember, we spoke to VW Group last year and this was a company that was ready to pack up and go because of load shedding. This is the first mining endeavor actually since, you know, load shedding, the suspension of load shedding, because if you remember, we went close to 300 days of not load shedding, and it's particularly interesting how, you know, the conversations about load shedding have gone down, you know, from, you know, last year to this mining endeavor. But I think what I picked up the most is, you know, the fascinating thing of like companies that would not associate with mining, but they are here with mining.
Definitely.
To talk about mining, basically.
Definitely. And it goes back to some of the minerals that they use. Actually, if you think about platinum, it's typically used in your exhaust system, catalytic converter specifically, to reduce the carbon emissions that we see within the mining space. The minister as well of energy, minerals and petroleum resources, Gwede Mantashe, also highlighted lithium and a few other minerals that are used as well, especially when it comes to new energy vehicles that become a priority. What stuck out for me, Jabs, that I noticed as well was that there's a strong focus on how Transnet has actively participated in its recovery program. And that obviously speaks to the policy reforms that we see from government, how that is also shifting their operations. And in a sideline conversation with the chairman of the board of Transnet Group, Andile Sanyo, he was very bold in mentioning, you know, how they are really trying to make sure that they bolster their operations to increase private sector participation in the freight rail and port environment to basically help with the movement of goods and services.
Yeah.
But Transnet obviously is finding itself in a slow shift and a slow change, and miners have actually had to use roads transport to make sure that they can get their goods and services out.
Yeah.
You had an interesting conversation around the road network infrastructure, specifically in provinces like Limpopo.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, Cooks, because the conversation, as you mentioned, I was with the road agency of Limpopo, and the conversation came from, you know, we were both complaining about the traffic that we're seeing here in Cape Town. And the conversation went from there to now being the roads in Limpopo. And I think one of the things that they mentioned of why Limpopo is basically a key area in terms of mining, if you look at the stats from Stats SA from 2022, Limpopo was actually the largest province with the largest income and sales of goods in the mining industry. And basically what that means also, it means that there's a lot of trucks that they see on the roads. Mm. And what does a lot of trucks mean? It means that, you know, when they've made a road that was meant to last for 10 years, it now lasts for 5 years. But then the conversation of, you know, fixing up and rehabilitation starts there. And basically the guys, you know, were there to say that, you know, no, we'll provide the roads but for these mining companies to get their products out there and to sell them, you know, but there should be a conversation about rehabilitation. And I think the reason also it's happening is because Mining Indaba made it deliberate to focus on these mining communities. Mm. So it was a big conversation, and it speaks about responsibility and accountability, and the fact that you can't keep making money and not taking care of those communities that, you know, basically give you, you know, the resources to make money. One of the things that Minister Mantashe touched on was that these companies can't come here and say that, you know, they're coming to create jobs, whereas they're just here to make money. You know, there should be a bigger conversation about accountability and responsibility and making sure that you leave the communities you work in a better state than you found them.
100%. So, yeah. You're quite right. Minister Mantashe had some very bold statements to make earlier today, and we're going to give you a preview of two of those clips. One of the factors that you've highlighted is, of course, the increased focus on society and communities. And this was mentioned by Frans Baleni, former General Secretary of the National Union of Mine Workers of South Africa, who now actually sits on the advisory board of the Investing in Mining in Indaba. Coupled with what he said, though, was of course around safety and the prioritization of mining safety, especially given the scourge of illegal mining. And what caught my attention, Jabs, was a statement that was shared by Minister Gwede Mantashe regarding mining safety, that we've actually seen some progress being made, but ultimately the goal is for us to get to zero deaths taking place in South Africa. Mm-hmm. Let's take a quick listen to this particular clip and theme that was shared by the Minister Gwede Mantashe, essentially at the opening address of the Mining Indaba.
We've been fighting with this thing, and we have a thing called zero harm in mining. That we must go underground and come back alive. We've been reducing fatalities in the sector over a number of years. This year we achieved the lowest number at 42 fatalities for the year 2024. That is the lowest number we've ever recorded. We're still striving. We're still trying to reduce it. We're improving from 49 fatalities in 2022, which was disrupted in 2023, to 55. We are at 42 this year. We're hoping to bring it to zero. Yes. So when you come and invest us, with us here, you open a mine. We'll help you open a mine. And once you open a mine, we'll say to you, can we discuss your zero harm program? Reduce fatalities, reduce diseases, reduce infection in the industry. We do that. It's a conscious program on our part. With this being the very first time that African economy will lead the G20, we are discussing with our colleagues to ensure that mining, critical minerals, artisanal mining, small-scale mining, and illegal mining, that is a work stream in preparation for G20. If you need to us, we must ensure that it happens here. If it doesn't happen here, it will not happen anywhere else. We are hosting G20 for the first time on the African continent, and that G20 is not South African G20. It's the G20 for the African continent. Please contribute in shaping it and ensure that the output reflects the needs of the continent. Now, in that way, we can contribute in building the Africa we want if we're working together. We're going to be able to work together and build the Africa we want. It's not the Africa I want. It's the Africa we want.
That was the voice of Minister of Mineral Resources and Petroleum Resources, Gwede Mantashe, giving us some insight into mine safety in South Africa. Some of the ambience is what you can hear in the room, and of course the feel and atmosphere that was certainly there. But one that does set the tone for a conversation we will have in just a few minutes has to be this key statement that was made by Minister Gwede Mantashe. Many of us this morning woke up to the headlines around Donald Trump raising some concerns around South Africa's land expropriation bill, and Elon Musk even labeling it as racist. There's been feedback that's been provided by the spokesperson of the presidency, who said that they're willing and keen to engage, but that they also need to understand that there's certain laws that have been implemented in South Africa, given the context and the history that we've experienced. This one, Jabs, actually caught my attention when Minister Gwede Mantashe mentioned it, essentially saying, well, hey, Trump, you want to question our laws, maybe even pull the trigger on a trade war? Well, maybe we'll hold back on giving you our natural resources.
Yeah.
You were in the media center. What was the reaction there?
There was a lot of clapping around, especially from, you know, our brothers and sisters from Africa, because they concurred with what he was saying. But I think people will hear from the reaction that came from this video, from this clip, what, you know, the ambience was in the room.
Let's take a listen to it.
I have ministers in my cabinet who always worry about geopolitics. Geopolitics. With this standing threat that, yeah, because you passed an exploration act, therefore Trump will withhold funding to South Africa. And I said, let's not demobilize Africa. Let's withhold minerals to U.S. That is it. If they don't give us money, let's not give them minerals.
Okay.
But really, they take our minerals and say, well, we don't find it. No, we have minerals in the continent. And therefore, we have something that we have. We're not just beggars. But we must just use that endowment for our benefit as a continent. But if, as a continent, we are frightened, we fear everything, we are going to collapse, and will collapse with minerals at our doorstep. So, my appeal is that Africa is the world's richest mining jurisdiction. And that issue is an issue that we must internalize as a continent, use it to our advantage. It's one of the things that you can use to compete in the world. You can't be the poorest continent. And being the richest mining destination, it was not 90% of world chromium.
That is the voice of Mineral and Petroleum Resources Minister Gwede Mantashe, essentially saying Africa should realize it has an advantage in terms of a change in growing demand for its mineral resources, and shouldn't be threatened by the likes of Trump or any other global leader in terms of global politics, geopolitics, as well as threats to support, aid, or even trade with the African continent. Interesting times indeed, right? You let us know your thoughts on the back of this, 0636880959. And of course, share your perspective on many of the other themes that we are discussing tonight, but of course, especially focused on the mining indaba. A big thank you, Njabs, for sharing your feedback and contribution. It's going to be a long week, but we're excited about it.
Yep. Shout out to SAA. Boop, 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 boop.
That's my colleague, Sine Njabulo Sibeko, who's the star producer of the show. And we are here on the ground at the mining indaba over the next 3 days. To give you an update of the developments taking place here, centered around the continent's potential for mining.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.